We left off last time. Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph. Talking about the question of wine falling into what wine falls into what wine. And the Mishnah had said, again, we assume that Yayin Nesach is Aser V'Oser B'Mashahu. And we always assume it means that if you have wine of Heter, you have kosher wine, and you have a drop of non-kosher wine that falls in, we assume that it's not Bata, which is in fact correct, but it's not the only way of reading the Mishnah. So last time we had explored the position of Rav Dimi, and then a slightly modified position of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, both in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that when the Isser falls in slowly into the Heter, we say Kama Kama Bata. That the only time we say that Yayin Nesach is Oser B'Mashahu is in the reverse direction. That if you have Yayin of Isser, and the Heter falls in, and no matter how it falls in, it could fall in drip, 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 or it could even fall in mass, because the Yayin Nesach is on the bottom. So we say that Yayin Nesach is Oser B'Mashahu. Even if you have an enormous amount of Heter that falls into the Isser, more than, let's say, 100 times, and it falls in B'Vasachas, we would still say that Yayin Nesach is Oser B'Mashahu. Meaning Oser B'Mashahu means even though you don't have Nesinas Tam, even though obviously this is wine and wine, so you can never taste it, but even though you have the proportion of less than Nesinas Tam, less than 1/60th of Yayin Nesach, it still all remains Aser. But Rav Dimi's huge chiddush is that if the Isser is falling into the Heter, there is Bittul. The Ran, we didn't discuss this last week, but the Ran, he doesn't make reference to a Gemara in Sachem, but he does, at least conceptually, present a way of understanding this. The Gemara in Sachem, I call it the second rabbinic law of thermodynamics. And it's one that doesn't really, it has only a kernel of making sense. It's a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara is in Sachem, and I think Parakei Tzatzolim, where if you have, you're trying to determine when you have two foods that mix together, whether they're cold or hot, in terms for the purposes of transfer of flavor. And the Gemara has a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. If you have something hot that falls onto something cold, or something cold that falls onto something hot, and they mix together, how do we determine what the temperature is? Is it hot or cold? And Rav says that Ila Agavar, and Shmuel says that Tata Agavar. Rav says that the upper one is what determines it, and Shmuel says it's the lower one. And this is a very important Gemara in one of the Simanim in Yerodea. I have a lot of questions about it, but we paskin like Shmuel that Tata Agavar, that whatever the substance is below, that is what we use to determine the temperature for flavor transfer purposes. If the lower one is hot, even though the upper one is cold, we assume that the two can transfer, that if there's Isser in one, it can transfer throughout the entirety of the other. Whereas if the lower one is cold and the upper one is hot, so we say that it cannot transfer throughout. At most, the Isser can be absorbed into the outer layer, the klipa of the Heter, because while the lower one is cooling down the upper one, so during that interim, there's at least a little bit of flavor transfer. So the only kernel of scientific truth in this, and maybe I don't understand the Gemara properly, is that heat does rise. I'm not sure that that's enough really to explain what's going on here. But that is the principle. Now, in our Gemara, we do paskin tata agavar like Shmuel, that the lower one is what dominates. In our Gemara, at least, the concept of tata agavar, it's not used by the Gemara, but at least would make a little bit of sense, because it has nothing to do with flavor transfer. It has to do with what is sort of the determiner of the mix. And the chiddush of Rav Dimi is that whatever is sitting on the ground is the one that exerts power over the thing that falls into it. The one that's fixed is the one that sort of has a greater determining power with the entire mixture. And therefore, if what's on the ground is heter, and then the yayin drips in, comes in slowly, so Rav Dimi says you can say kama kama batil. But now, if it came in en masse, if you have a huge amount of yayin that falls in at once, enough to be 1/60th to give flavor to the wine below, the shear that would give flavor, so then it's aser. But as long as it comes in slowly, either in drips or maybe a slow flow, so then we say that the bottom one, Rav Dimi claims, actually determines what the status of the mixture is, and as long as you don't have Nesinas Tam, as long as you don't have 1/60th of the upper one, so it remains the mutter. Whereas, if it happens in the reverse direction, even if a flood of Yayin Heter falls into a small amount of Yayin Nesach, it always remains Aser. That is what Rav Dimi's position is. And Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef really agrees, but they're debating how slow the flow has to be. Everybody agrees if you get this huge tsunami of wine falling in, it doesn't matter. It will all combine together to make, if you have at least, by, say, let's say 1/60th, and it comes in what we would call one shot, it will make the yayin below aser. So that's what these two Amoraim claim in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. And this is radically at odds with the way we usually think about the prohibition of yayin nesach of oser b'mashehu. But fortunately, to allow us to retain our illusion of full knowledge, the Gemara presents another two opinions, both in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, which actually conform to the way we think. Perhaps we think that way because we paskin like, in effect, one of these two versions. So the Gemara it's at the beginning of a line. It's just over halfway down in the Gemara. If you look at Tosas Dibur Maskel Ki Asa Rav Dimi, go up two lines in the Gemara, all the way at the beginning of the line, which is Ki Asa Ravin. Ki Asa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan Yayin Esech Shenafal Labor V'Nafal Sham Kiton Shalmayim. So you have two things that fall into the wine in the pit. The first one is Yayin Esech, and the second is water. Roin Es HaHeter Ki'ilu Eino. We envision, we look at it as if the kosher wine was never there, which means all we have here is non-kosher wine and water. And everybody will agree, the Mishnah says, that water can be mevatel non-kosher wine if there's no nesinas tam, if it doesn't provide flavor, whatever that ratio is.
That has to be a certain quantity.
A certain quantity, whatever it is. But the Mishnah says it's benosein tam.
Ketone is ketone?
Ketone is a vessel. It's not a measurement. I'm pretty sure a ketone shamayim just means... you have in Yoma, when they talk about the Kohen Gadol, all year round he would wash his hands with a kior, from the kior, but in Yom Kippur they would use, I believe it was a ketone zahav shamayim. I don't think it's a measure, I think it's a vessel. Oh. You know, it was a klisharis, so it was makadish the water, and then he would do that, because it wasn't convenient for him to run to the kior all the time. So they had the water in the ketone, it was makudash for kiddush adayim raglayim, and he would probably do it by the lishka space aparva, where he did all his tefillos. Yeah. I don't remember if in the avodah on Yom Kippur there's a reference specifically to it, but I wouldn't be surprised. If you pay attention, it's possible that they make reference to the ketone. I believe it's ketone zahav that the Mishnah Yoma speaks about. So I think a ketone is just a kli. So the water of ketone shamayim falls in there. And now we look at it as if the heter is not there. V'hashar mayim rabin alav u'mevatlenosa. And then the water is mevatel the yayin asach. And now when that is viewed as mixed with the yayin kosher, it doesn't matter because there's no yayin asach here. Now, a simple scenario, although not as simple as it might seem, might have been, let's say I have some yayin nesach that falls into water and it's batel. And now, this water with the yayin nesach batel in it falls into more yayin. That is easier conceptually to see why we would apply the rule of bittel. We would say that once the yayin nesach disappeared, all you're dealing with here is water. And water of hetar, and it's mutter to drink. And if that water falls into the wine, it's not a problem. So it would seem. But Rabbi Yochanan is being cited here as saying something far more novel. He's claiming that even if the Yayin Nesach, and we're going to see the Gemara is going to present a slightly different opinion next, if the Yayin Nesach falls in first and then water falls in, even though the Yayin Kosher didn't have the capacity to nullify the Yayin Nesach, the water that falls in afterwards does. Now from a physical perspective, that's a little bit hard to see. Because once the yayin nesach falls into the yayin kosher, firstly, it's all aser, and that's a separate discussion that I'm going to dredge up now. But when the water falls in, who says that it's specifically mevatel the yayin nesach? It's kind of diffused throughout. So why does it have the capacity to mevatel the yayin nesach alone? So I want to present you a question, Hakira. I think I presented this a long time ago, and I presented this in Shir to my students last week. the following question, and it seems I'm not a person who's a brisker, so I'm not generally given to asking these kind of questions, but it's actually very relevant here. On the way we paskin, if a small drop of Yayin Nesach falls into a barrel of kosher wine, it's all aser. You can't consume any of it. But this is my question. Is the reason that it's aser is because Yayin falls in and asers the rest of the wine, in the same way that when milk falls into meat and flavors it, it makes it aser? Or is it simply that the Yayin Nesach is not able, that the Yayin Kosher is not able to be mevatel the Yayin Nesach, and therefore when I drink the wine, it's as if I'm drinking the Yayin Nesach directly. I'm also drinking kosher wine, but I'm drinking the Yayin Nesach at the same time. So again, we would say, the way we would say in the Beis Medrash, is it that the Yayin Nesach aser, is that the aser is the kosher wine, or is it simply that the kosher wine does not have the capacity to be mevatel the Yayin Nesach? So ordinarily, if a student asked me this question, I would look at them, and like my Rebbe Rosh Hechter always would say, what's the nafkamina? Who cares? Now, true briskers would never say that, but I'm not a true brisker. David may remember, you know, from years ago, I might be called the anti-brisker. But this actually matters here. And it matters for the following issue. I want to take it out of our Gemara to another Gemara with the following issue. We have encountered Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and we will re-encounter, it's the next Gemara, Rav and Shmuel, that min bimino is never batel. Rabbi Yehuda's of the opinion that when you have two things of different flavors, so then min b'sheino mino is b'no sein tam. If the iser flavors the heter, it's prohibited. If it doesn't flavor the heter, if you can no longer taste the iser, then it's permitted. But min b'mino, Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion, is not batel. What is Rabbi Yehuda's source? So it's coming up on Yomim Noraim, on Yom Kippur. In the Avoda of Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol was instructed, after sprinkling the Dam of the Par on inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on the Kapores, and sprinkling the Dam of the Sar in the Kapores, and then going out to the Kodesh and sprinkling on the Paroches for the blood of the Par, and then sprinkling on the Paroches from the blood of the Sayer, he has one last job to do. He's got to come to the four-cornered Mizbeach, the Mizbeach Hazav, and he's got to put it on top of the Mizbeach on each of the four corners. But there, the Torah says, V'lakach midam ha-par u'midam ha-sa'ir v'nasana karnos ha-mizbeach saviv. He shall take from the blood of the par and the blood of the sa'ir and put on the corners of the Mizbeach around. Now, according to the Mishnah, when he does that blood sprinkling, he mixes the blood of the par and the blood of the sa'ir together. And the Gemara in Menachos makes a comment, Davar Yadua, it's known lefnei amakom, that the Dam HaPar is Meruba Midam HaSayer, that there is more blood in the Par than in the Sayer. Now, that's true, although technically speaking, you don't need to be Mekabel all the Dam, you need just some Dam. But I will say, from a statistical perspective, the probability that the amount of Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSayer in the two vessels being the exact same amount is statistically zero. The chances are nil. We would say E'esha L'tzamsin. So it doesn't have to be that the Dam HaPar is more than Dam HaSayer, but we'll stick with the Gemara's presentation. And yet the Torah says, the Kohen mixes them together, the Kohen Gadol mixes them, V'lakach midam ha-par midam ha-sa'ir. So everybody asks the following question. If one of them is larger than the other, why don't we apply the rule of bittel? And therefore, you either just have the dam ha-par, or you just have the dam ha-sa'ir. And yet the Torah says, V'lakach midam ha-par midam ha-sa'ir. It's called dam ha-par and dam ha-sa'ir, there's no bittel. Why is there no bittel? So the Gemara Menachos presents the following machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the reason why it's not batel is because min bimino is never batel. We never apply the rule of min bimino, we never apply bittel by min bimino. That's Rabbi Yehuda's position. And the Chachamim's position is that no, ordinarily min bimino is batel, but here the rule is, olin, those things that are brought up on the Mizbeach, are not mevatlin zoso. That's the principle. We might say, in the same way that a davar chashuv is never batel, right? If you take one filet mignon and you mix it with two other filet mignons, you don't chop them up, but they're sitting there on the plate. So if these were three pieces of salami, one was kosher, one was treif, and two were kosher. So according to the Rush, I'll take the extreme position. You can put the three on a club roll and you can eat them together at the same time. But if one of these pieces, if these three pieces are not pieces of salami, but they're actually chaticha ruyelis kabed. They could be served at a fancy meal. There are three filet mignons here. Two are kosher, one is treif. You can't eat any of them. because there's no bitul. Why? Because bitul means we look at it as if the iser no longer exists. And here, it's so significant, it's such a davar chashuv, it can't be batel. So probably the Chachamim believe also that that at olin, things that are already designated to be brought on the Mizbeach have such chashivus that there cannot be any such concept as bitul. Cannot be such concept as bitul. I'm not going to talk about now why Rabbi Yehuda believes, we've discussed it before, why he believes mimbamino, what the concept is that it's not batel. But that's what he derives that mimbamino is not batel. So I'm going to ask that question again there. Is it that mimbamino, is it that a min of heter does not have the capacity to be mevatel mino of iser? So it's as if the two are still there, and when you consume it, it's as if you're eating the iser? Or is it that the iser makes the heter aser, it makes it prohibited? Where does that matter? So it's the same kind of a case, and this is a Gemara in Chulin. Supposing you have min of iser, I don't know, take you have a basar of iser that falls into basar of heter and the broccoli. That's what happens. So the question now, the question is this meat of iser batel or not? So it would really depend on our question. If you were to say that min is oser mino, it makes the other thing aser. So when the treif meat falls into the kosher meat and the broccoli, which are both there, the treif meat is going to mix with some of the kosher meat, and it's going to make it aser. And it doesn't matter the fact that there's a lot of broccoli in the pot, even enough broccoli to be mevatel the treif meat. But if you believe that it's not that min is oser mino, but simply that min doesn't have the capacity to nullify mino, so then it's true. The kosher meat doesn't have the capacity to mevatel the treif meat, but the broccoli, if there's enough of it, does. And the Gemara says that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that min b'mino is not batel. If min falls into min ve'eno mino, the meat that falls into meat and something else, roen es mino, ki'ilu eino, we look at it as if the min is not there. V'she'eino mino, rabba alavu mavatlo. And the other food, the thing that's not the same min, the broccoli, then if it can, it is rabba alav, it overwhelms the iser and is mavatalit. That's the principle that is employed there. Marshall.
But if we're talking about a piece of iser, if you were stir-frying a huge block of just broccoli,
yeah, No, okay, so, maybe it's not, you have to get something that blends and you can't tell the difference. I agree. In other words, you'll have to, we're talking about, I agree. I could create such chidushim for you with the shita of the Raivet, so you better not to do that. I've come up with a way, based upon the Raivet's shita, the Limidoraisa, that you could turn all Isser into Heter. I figured out a way you could enjoy the taste of pork. Maybe if you push me hard enough, I'll explain. Only Midoraisa, only according to the Raivet. If you push me hard enough at some point, I'll explain how it emerges from the sugya. But, in the meantime, so that's really the principle that the Gemara right now is Rabbi Yochanan is employing. Of course, if one drop of Yayin Nesach falls into Yayin of Heter, the entire thing is Aser. But what happens if there's water and kosher wine, and now the Yayin Nesach falls in? So Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you can look at it as if the water and the wine of Heter are still separate, they're both there, and the water, it's mevatel v'yayin nesach, and now it's just water being mixed with kosher wine. That is what Rabbi Yochanan is suggesting here. Now, the difficult part about Rabbi Yochanan's presentation right now, it's going to be difficult with both, but here, Rabbi Yochanan, in this version, and we're going to get a second one in a moment, is dealing with a case where the yayin nesach falls in first to the yayin of heter, there's no water, and then the water falls in. So even though there was a stage at which the yayin was clearly aser, now the water falls in by accident. You can't do it on purpose. You're not allowed to be mevatel isur lechatchila, to intentionally mix in more stuff to make the isur become mutter through bittul. So now the water falls in by itself, by accident. Now you say it all of a sudden, it makes a connection with the yayin nesach specifically, and now it is it's batel and it's mutter. But that's what the third now version of Rabbi Yochanan. But totally different than the first two, it presents this idea, which again, we'll read it quickly, and then we'll go into the second. Ki asa ravin am Rabbi Yochanan. Yayin esach shenafal lebor v'nafal sham kiton shamayim roin es haheter kiilu eino. We look at it, the kosher wine is not there. V'hashar mayim, the rest, which is water, rabin alavu mevatlin oso. Now the Gemara presents another version of Rabbi Yochanan, which is similar to this. Ki asa Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda am Rabbi Yochanan lo shanu ela shenafal kiton shamayim tchila. It only works if the water falls in first. You have kosher wine, then water falls in, and then the treif wine falls in. If the wine falls in first, matza min esmino v'neor. So he says that basically the wine meets wine initially, and it all becomes aser, and the water cannot specifically nullify the yayin esach. The water basically falls into everything, and the water doesn't have the capacity to be mevatel all of the wine, and therefore the mixture remains prohibited. Now, the truth is, this line, matza min esmino v'neor, is not technically an accurate term. It's not technically accurate. I want to explain, actually, what the original meaning of the term is. We're going to discuss this further when we learn Tosfos. It actually means something different. The Gemara here is using it what we would call as a melitza. It's kind of an expression, but it doesn't mean what it says literally. What it means literally here, what it's supposed to mean here, is that once the Yayin Nesach met the Yayin Kasher, and there was no intermediary to mevatel it, they in effect joined forces, and now the water can't do anything to it unless you have an overwhelming amount of water to be mevatel all the wine. What it means in its original context is the following, and Marshall here, you're going to start to get a little bit of a taste, no pun intended, of my ingenious solution. Supposing I have Let me take the Russia's case. You have two pieces of kosher salami, a third piece of trace salami. We play the shell game here. We don't know which is which. So the Rush says that you can take all three pieces, put it on your club roll, and you can eat it all at once. What happens? Why? Why is that possible? You know you're eating the Isser. The position of the Rashba, incidentally, is that one Jew can eat all three, but not at the same time, one at a time. So when you look at each one, the first one is a third probability that's mutter, so it's mutter. It's a rove of heter. Then the second one, still a rove. Third, still a rove. Yes, you know you've eaten it, but it doesn't matter. As long as when you're eating it, it's mutter. We don't care about the cumulative, you know, we don't care that the cumulative probability is now one, that it's happened. But the Rush says no, that iser nepach lios heter, that when there's bittul, the Torah has declared that the iser has magically metamorphosized into heter. That's why you can eat all at once, because it's all heter. But the Rush also says something shocking then. He says, what happens now if two pieces of trace salami fall into this mixture? So the Rush says it's us. What's going on?
Because if it's two pieces of salami and the rest of them is rib steak, those are distinct.
No. We're all salami slices here. Oh, remember, okay. We start out two kosher, one tray. If they mix together, you can eat all of them now. Now, why? Because the Isser turned into heter, metaphysically. Now, two more pieces of Isser fall, and I have five pieces of salami. Right. The Rush says it's Asser. What's that?
It revivifies the...
The Gemara uses the expression in Bechoros. We're going to see this in Tosos. Matza min esmino v'neor. The min, the Isser here, finds its friends, the Isser, and it wakes up. I'm not Isser anymore. Now I'm not Heter anymore. I'm Isser. And now the Rush... Really, it would... It's a question, I think it's a machlokas achronim, whether or not the Rush holds its asa midoraisa or not. But I think that the way the Rush presents it, it sounds like it's asa midoraisa. Matza min esmino v'neor. That's where the origin of the expression is. It's in every situation where you have bittul and then more iser falls in. If you want it onto the Rabbanan level, let's say I have kosher meat and I have treif meat. And let's say for the moment it's ground beef marshal, so it's all blended together, and one piece of kosher meat, one 60th or less of treif meat falls in, we say it's all bato. Now what happens when another 60th falls in? So at least midrabanan, because midaraisa by mimbimino, we paskin, you only need a majority. 50%+ is enough to be mevatel. But now what if more falls in? So now we say matzah minus mino, the way we paskin, matzah minus mino v'neor, and now we have too much iser for the heter to be mevatel. There is one position, one Das Yachad and the Rishonim, the Ravid, who disagrees. The question, which I won't answer now, but at some point I'll answer, is for the Ravid. The Ravid would say that, let's say, another piece of heter falls in, Iser falls in. it's still mutter. What happens when you're dealing with, let's say, the ground beef, and now you have a majority of ground beef that's treif from a physical perspective? The Ravid says it's still mutter. Now it appears that the question would be, Marshall, for the Ravid, what happens if it's chazer shmalz that falls into your meat? It's mimbish eino mina. And now let's say that a little more, you can't taste it right now, it's batel. A little more falls in, and all of a sudden you can taste it. The question for the Ravid is, would the Ravid say in that case that now you have Nesinus Tam of Isser? Well, he would say no. We don't say. He says you only say Matzah Minas Mino Veneor by Tuma, not by Isser Veheter. That's the question. Yes.
When you're doing the math, when the second piece falls in, you actually count the increased volume that includes the first piece, or do you exclude it to count the
Shishim? So the answer is...
It's not so obvious.
No, so I'll give you the case in Shulchan Aruch. It's the last sif in Siman Tzadiches, the opening Siman Taroves. We do say Isurin. We paskin Isurin are mevatlin zo azo. What is that? But it has to be two different Isurim, and let's say two different flavors. If I have a 59 kezaisim of meat, and I have a kezais of dam and a kezais of chalev that fall in, for the moment, let's say at the same time. So I now have 61 kezaisim total, 59 of meat, of kosher meat, one of dam and one of chalev. So we pasken that it's mutter to eat the entire thing. Why? Where's the bittul? The answer is isurin ar mevatlin zo aso, because the dam and the chalev are not the same flavor. When we look at the chalev, is the chalev still in the pot? The answer is no. There are 60 pieces of non-chalev that don't taste like chalev in the pot. 59 of us are one of dam. The fact that the dam is isur doesn't change the fact that the taste of the chalev is gone and it's batel, over a batel and a olam. And then you turn around and say, Lagabe the dam, what's in the pot? 59 pieces of meat, one kezayis of chelov. The dam is batel b'shishim, and therefore that's what they call isur mevatlin zo
azo. Yeah, this question is different, because the question is how quickly they find each other and wake each other up. If it's instantly turned back into treif when the second piece falls in, then you can't count it?
Correct. No, the answer is yes. We assume it's an instantaneous process. And if it all blends together, we now say that you have two kezaisim of isser. So you would need 120 to be mevatel. It doesn't matter the sequence it falls in.
Would it make a difference? Can you eat it at one time?
What, 61?
Yes.
Yeah, you can eat it one time. Yeah. Nobody questions, by the way, I mean, let me put it to you this way. Nobody questions that when you have isser that's batel, let's say a chaser shmelz falls in, a kezais falls into 60 kezaisim of kosher meat, nobody says that you can't eat them in vasachas. But the truth is, you can't eat 61 kezaisim of vasachas anyway. What we define in halacha is vasachas, is what's known as toch kedei achilas pras. This is for a different yom, but this is for Pesach, how fast you have to eat the matzah. So the bottom line is you might be able to eat the three pieces of salami, toka de achilas pas. You can't eat the 61 kezaisim. I mean, I guess if you had a very tiny amount of chazer, even less than a kezais of chazer is asur min haTorah. Chatzi shir, if you have a half a kezais of chazer, it's a machlokas or b'yochan or mishlakish, whether it's an isur d'oraisa or an isur d'rabbanan to eat it, we paskin chatzi shir is asur min haTorah. You don't get malkos, you don't get lashes for eating it, but it is asur min d'oraisa to eat. Take even half a piece of chazer and eat it. Okay, so that is the origin of the expression matzah min es mino v'neor. In other words, you had iser mevutal in the heter, and then more iser falls in, and they find each other, they hug, they kiss, and they join forces together. So matzah min es mino v'neor, and it is awoken, or it wakes up. So the Gemara uses that expression here, but it doesn't really fit perfectly. Because here what happens in this first version is that the yayin esach falls into the yayin of heter. There's nothing to wake up. It makes it aser. They join immediately. The fact that the wine, the water falls in afterwards, that's not matzah min es mino v'neor. It's really, I would have said, matzah eino mino es mino v'neor. The water finds the yayin esach and sort of pulls it out of the rest of the wine and makes it batel. So they're using this expression, but the expression is not literally tailored for this context. Okay, so that is the third version of Rabbi Yochanan, but the first one in the world in which we understand, which is that when yayin falls into yayin if iser falls into heter, it's all aser. But if water falls in even afterwards, so Rabbi Yochanan then says, the water connects with the yayin esach, is mevatalit, and now you just have water in yayin, which is kosher, and therefore it's not a problem. Finally, one last opinion. Ki asa Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda amar Rabbi Yochanan. So the fourth Amora comes from Eretz Yisrael to Baba and records the following tradition of Rabbi Yochanan's name. Lo shanu ela shenofal kiton shomayim tchila. The din this din only applies if the water falls in first. However, so the way he explains using the expression is that if the water falls in first and then the yayin nesach falls in, so since the water was there along with the yayin kasher, the water can catch the yayin nesach and be mevatel it. But once the yayin nesach falls in to that yayin, and it all joins together without any water, then that's like matzah minus mino v'ne'or, which again, that's not how the expression is really used, right? The two have come together, and they can't be separated by the water falling in later. It's only if the water fell in first, and the water and the wine were there to receive the yayin nesach, and the water receives the yayin nesach. So that is the fourth opinion with the Rabbi Yochanan, that it's not enough to have water with the yayin kosher and the yayin nesach, but the water has to fall in before the yayin nesach falls in. Now, as I mentioned before, even that is something of a radical position. Because why should you say that it's only the yayin nesach that receives the water and not the yayin kosher? Now, we don't really care whether the yayin kosher receives the water, because when you put water into yayin kosher, what do you get? Diluted wine. It's not a problem. But who says that only the water receives the yayin nesach? Maybe the yayin nesach is also falling into the yayin kosher. So there's going to be, when Rashi reads the Gemara in the next Amud, there's going to be a further step in this machlokas. But for the moment, we've seen these two opinions in the second way of Rabbi Yochanan is presented, that of course wine into wine is asar. Yayin nesach into yayin kosher, it's all asar. But if you have the addition of water, so then we can look at it as if the yayin kosher isn't there. Roin es mino ki'ilu eino, and eino mino, the water is rabba lavo mevatlo. And the only machlokas so far is, does the water have to fall into the yayin kosher first, or even if the water falls in afterwards? Yeah.
If you say if the water falls in after it's okay, then anyone can save something by throwing water into it.
B'diyeved, but l'chatchila, that would be mevatlin isur l'chatchila. Right, now l'chatchila, you can't do it, and if you do it b'mezid, everybody agrees that you can't drink it, that the bittul doesn't work. At least, I say, you can't drink it, and the person you did it for can't drink it. That's the way the Rashi Baal Paskins and the Shulchan Aruch quotes
it. Just leave it out and hope for rain. That's also doing it by design. I mean, I guess the uncovered issue is also
what that is. Well, you could stand there watching it, that no snake would come. Very good, you remembered that giloy. Yeah, okay. So we don't worry about the giloy part. But bottom line is, technically speaking, it would work if it happened outdoors and you didn't cover it. But if you put it outdoors, then that might be considered again mevatlin isur l'chatchila actively. Yes. Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara continues. The next part is really just it's a textual issue, not really important to us. The Gemara says the following: Ika demasni la amas nisan. Some taught this particular statement of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda not on the earlier statement, the earlier discussion, but directly on the Mishnah, which is lo shanu ela shelo nafal sham amar Shmuel bar Yehuda amar Yochanan lo shanu ela shelo nafal sham kiton shemaim alo nafam shel kiton shemaim roen es aheter kilo eno v'sharmain rabban labu vatla noso. So he makes the exact same statement, but instead of talking about Rabbi Yochanan's perspective, he's responding directly to the Mishnah. So the Gemara says that my ika ben the maslina masnisan ben the maslina adarovin. What is the difference between whether you claim that Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda was coming to respond to Ravin's citation of Rabbi Yochanan as opposed to commenting directly on the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, "Man demasni la masnisan lo boi tchila." If he was commenting directly on the Mishnah, you don't need the water to fall in first. In other words, he actually could agree exactly with Ravin Rabbi Yochanan that it doesn't matter whether the Yayin Nesach falls in first or the water falls in first. But uman demasni ad Ravin, if he's responding to Ravin's citation of Rabbi Yochanan, obviously it means he's disagreeing, and therefore he requires that the water fall in first and then the wine fall in. Okay.
Isn't the Mishnah's point where it says yayin, mayim, v'yayin, isn't it to just do away with all this stuff? I mean, the order, the which one fell in first, so, which one fell in second? Are they? Isn't the Mishnah pretty straightforward that if it's no Saint Tom?
So you fell into the trap that the Gemara made last week and did away with in the Mishnah. When it says Mayim b'Yayin and Yayin b'Mayim, does that mean that the water or the wine, it's a wine of Isser and water of Heter in both cases? In which case the Mishnah is telling you, doesn't matter what direction it falls in. That was one of the attempted riyas against Radimi, and the Gemara turns around and says, no, Yayin b'Mayim, the Gemara says, means, it says Isser into Heter, and Mayim b'Yayin is Isser into Heter, right? You could do it either way, but the Gemara is comfortable with the idea that Mayim b'Yayin and Yayin b'Mayim, in one case, Mayim is Usser, in one case, Yayin is Usser. So the commission, in fact, is not telling us that the order doesn't matter. It's telling us that the substance doesn't matter. Okay. But you don't have to feel bad because the Gemara made the same assumption as well, at least initially. Fine. So now, the Gemara presents the following. Itmar, Yayin Nesech, Shenofal Labor, V'nofal Sham Kiton Shamayim. Now this looks a lot like the case we just dealt with. Yayin Nesach falls into a bor, which means the bor has Yayin Kasher in it, and then a Kiton Shamayim falls in as well. Turn over to the top of Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, the first line. Omar Chizkia, Higdilu Be'isur Asur, or Higdilo Be'isur Asur, Higdilo Beheter Mutar. So what does this mean? So Rashi makes the following claim, and we're going to read the Gemara with Rashi. Tosos takes a different approach. There are many appealing things about Rashi's approach. He says the following, Higdilu, or Higdilu, Hamayim v'hayayin b'isur. What does that mean, says Rashi, the top Rashi? Shenofal yayin nesech b'sof, v'higdilu is asur. In other words, if the water falls in first, and then the yayin nesech falls into the mixture of water and kosher wine, so it's asur. It's all asur. Velo amrinan. You can't say roin es haheter keilu eino. Nope. You can't say that you look at it as if the kosher wine's not there and the yayin nesach is just falling into water. Ella yayin nesach mischaber lemino. The yayin nesach joins with the kosher wine. Ve'ein hamayin rabin alav. There's not enough water to be mevatalit because it's all wine. The kosher cane enough lumayim besof kidamar leel, and certainly, if the yayin nesach fell in first, not the water fell in first. The yayin nesach fell in first, and now you have the yayin mixes with the yayin, and now water falls in. It doesn't do you any good. Now, what is higdilo beheter? When is it mutter according to Chizkiya? Shenafal yayin heter besof. In other words, you have a mixture first of water and yayin nesach. And what happened when the water and the yayin nesach blended together first? Kvar botel yayin nesach b'mayim, shemayim rabu alav b'yoso levado. In other words, when you had the water mixed together with the yayin nesach in the bar, and there's enough water to be mevatel yayin nesach, the yayin nesach is gone. Umishe botel legamre, once it's truly completely botel, and it's mutter to drink this water, Shuv eino chozer v'neor. No, in that case, once you're separately mevatel the yayin nesach, now you take the mixture of yayin nesach and heter, where it was batel, and you mix it into yayin kasher, you don't say, matza minis mino v'neor. You don't say that now that yayin nesach finds the yayin kasher, and all of a sudden makes it asur. No, once the yayin nesach was batel in another substance, Chizkiya says, it will remain batel, and it will not come back to life again. By the way, there would be a case that it would. If you had Yayin Nesach that was batel in water, and then you added more Yayin Nesach to it, and more Yayin Nesach, you could taste it. Chizkiya might very well say Chazor v'Neora. But here, you're not adding non-kosher wine to the water-wine mix, where the wine was already batel. You're adding kosher wine. You don't say Matzah min esmino v'Neor here. So Chizkiya, in effect, represents almost then a fifth opinion, right? The first version, Rabbi Yochanan in the previous Gemara, Ravin's name, is if Yayin Nesach falls into the Yayin Kasher first, and then the Kiton Shamayim falls in, it's Mutter. And the second version, Rabbi Yehuda, or somebody, Shmuel Bar Yehuda, says that if the water falls in first to the Yayin Kasher, and then the Yayin Nesach falls in, so then the water catches the Yayin Nesach. And Chizkiya says, nothing doing. The only time that Yayin Nesach falling into Yayin Kasher will not make it Asur is if the Yayin Nesach was Nisbatel before it fell in. So it falls into the water is Mevatel it, genuinely, fully, completely. Now that falls into the wine, that's okay, because that's just water falling into wine. That is That is Chizkiah's position, the way Rashi explains it. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar on the second line, Afilu Higdilu Be'isr Mutar. Rabbi Yochanan, following Rabbi Yochanan that we just saw, one of those two versions says it doesn't matter. Even if, let's take the way Rashi would probably say, even if the water, as long as the water falls in first, before the Ayin Nesach falls in, Rabbi Yochanan says it's fine. Higdilu Be'isr is still Mutar. The only time maybe Rabbi Yochanan would say it's prohibited is if the Yayin Nesach fell into the Yayin Kasher first and then the water falls in subsequently. So that is what the Gemara said. That's the Machlokes Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan the way Rashi reads him. So Amar le Rav Yirmiya le Rav Zeira. Rav Yirmiya, as Rashi says, didn't really understand. He wasn't sure what the Machlokes was about. He wasn't sure, and he thought what he thought that Chizkiah's position was: whatever falls in last is the way we determine things here. So if the Yayin falls in last, the Yayin shel nes, if the water falls in first, and then the Yayin Nesach falls in, so then Achar Achron Aniva, whatever fell in last, that's actually what rules, and it's Yayin Nesach that fell in, and therefore it's all Aser. Whereas, if what fell in last was the mixture of water and wine, so then it's not a problem. Then we say Achar Achron Aniva. The last mixture is the determining factor. The first mixture was Yayin Nesach into water, which was Nisbatel. Now water falls into wine, it's not a problem. And Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't really care. It doesn't matter what order it falls in. So now, in light of that, Rabbi Yirmiya says to Rav Zeira the following. Lema, the beginning of the fourth line, Chizki of Rabbi Yochanan, the Plugta de Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanon Kamipalki. Can we say that the Machlokes of Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan is the same machlokes as Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in another context? The Tanan. Seor shel chulin v'shel truma shenaflu l'tocha isa. You have a mixture of two things of starter dough. One of them is chulin and one of them is truma. So if you remember, we've mentioned that when you have seor of truma, that causes a dough of chulin to rise, even though the sa'or is batel, even though there's less than 1/60, even though you can't taste that sa'or, because the sa'or is a davar ha'maimid, it causes the dough to transform into bread, and you can see the effects of the sa'or shel truma, the bread is aser. Davar ha'maimid is not batel, that's a din derabanan, but it's not batel. Same issue with rennet and cheese. Non-kosher rennet and milk, even though you can't taste the rennet, is davar ha'maimid, it's not batel. So, in this case, though, it's more complicated because the starter dough was a mix of chulin and truma. And the assumption is, lo bazek de lechametz v'lo bazek de lechametz. In the amount of time that it was there and we baked it, there wasn't enough time, if that you had just put in the starter dough of one or the other, wasn't enough time to cause it to rise. So what we have is a situation, what is classically known as, zev zegorim. And right now, it may be that Rav Yirmiya doesn't really understand and recognize that either yet. So what's the halacha? V'nitztarfu v'chimtzu, and they combine together the two pieces of starter dough, and they leaven the dough. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, achar acharon aniva. It depends which one was the makib apatish, the one that fell in last. And it sounds as if you have this unit of sourdough, these two units, and the one that fell in second, which is sort of the clincher, is the chulin sourdough, then the bread is mutter. And if the one that fell in last is the truma sourdough, then it's aser. Then it's aser to zarim. Only a kohen can eat it. V'chachamim omrim, no. Bein shenofal iser betchila ubein besof, eino aser at sheyehebo kidei lahachmetz. It's only aser if the truma on its own, there was a sufficient amount of truma starter of sourdough in order to be machmitz the loaf. Okay, so the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiya thought, at least on a superficial analogy, that Chizkiah follows the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, and it depends which one fell in last. And that's the determinant. And the Chachamim, Rabbi Yochanan, follows the opinion of the Chachamim, and he believes that it doesn't matter which order they fall in. Either way, it's not considered truma bread. That was his suggestion.
Could you match that up to our case, please?
So Chizkiah says, like Rabbi Eliezer, that the last thing that falls in is what determines the status of this taroves. So if the water falls in first to the kosher wine, and then the Yayin Nesach falls into that mixture, so then, achar acharon aniva, what fell in last was yayin shel iser, and that makes the taroves prohibited. But if the yayin shel nesach falls into the water first, and now it's nisbatel, and now the water falls into the wine, then the kosher wine, then achar acharon aniva, we look at the last falling, and we would say that that is not a problem. That was what he seemed to have thought. So the Gemara says, no, v'tisbara. Is that correct? V'ha'amar Abaye, lo shanu ela shekadam v'silek es ha'iser. No. Rabbi Eliezer only says that if the second thing that fell in was the chulin sourdough, that you can eat the bread is if you pull out the first sourdough. That's only if kadam v'silek es ha'iser. Avo lo kadam v'silek es ha'iser, oser. According to Rabbi Eliezer, as long as both things are there and they leaven the bread is aser. The bread is truma. And according to the Chachamim, it doesn't matter. They can both be there and it's fine, and it doesn't matter what order they fell in. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Chizkia the Amar Kaman. Whose opinion will Chizkia be? Because Chizkia believes that even though they're both there, it depends upon which happened first. Rabbi Eliezer believes if they're both there, doesn't matter, it's aser. The Chachamim believe if they're both there, it doesn't matter, and it's mutter. So Rabbi Yochanan could follow the Chachamim, but who is Chizkiyah going to be in accord with? Nobody. That can't be. So apparently, you totally misunderstood. Your viewer misunderstood what the Machlokas was about. Rather, Elahocha biroin kamipalgi. What they're arguing about is whether you can employ the principle of roin at all. The Chizkiyah lesle roin, and the Rabbi Yochanan isle. Now this is the way we explained before. Which is Chizkiyah believes that whenever you can't say roin. If you have wine of kosher and water gets mixed in, and then treif wine, yayin nesach falls in, you can't say that the yayin nesach only falls into the water and not into the kosher wine. And a kal v'chomer, if the treif wine falls in first and then the water falls in, you can't say that the water only first found the yayin nesach. There's no such thing as roin, es mino ki'ilo eino, and eino mino rabba lamatla. There's no such thing. That's ridiculous. Chizkiyah says the only way it's going to be batel is if the yayin nesach was misbatel first in the water, and now the mixture falls in. Then it's water falling into wine, and you don't say matzah minas mino avineo. And Rabbi Yochanan says that we do say roin, that even though physically it's hard to see that happening, conceptually we look at the yayin nesach. Let's say, again, it could be two versions of Rabbi Yochanan, but the bottom line is, it is possible to see the Yayin Nesach in a mixture with the Yayin Kasher, but gravitating towards the water and being Mespatel. We can say, Rowan, we look at it as if, even though the reality is not so. And what is the Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim about? It's really about Zev Ezegorim. Whenever you need a catalyst in something, and the catalyst is composed of two units, one of Isser and one of Heter, and both were necessary, do you say that Zev Ezegorim is Mutter or Zev Ezegorim is Aser? So the two Machlokos are totally unrelated to one another. Okay, and now the Gemara is going to conclude the discussion just about confirming Rabbi Yochanan's thinking. The Gemara says, Umi Islei l'Rabbi Yochanan Roim. Does Rabbi Yochanan really have the principle of roin? V'ha'boi minei Rabbi Asi mei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Asi, his student, asked him the following question. Shnei kosos, echad shel chulin ve'echad shel truma, u'mizagan v'irvan zeh b'zeh mahu. You have two cups of wine. One is chulin, one is truma, and you dilute them. You dilute them. And the assumption here is, I'm going to go with the following proportions and follow the psak of the Shulchan Aruch and Ramosha's psak in terms of wine and water. Let's assume in order to be mevata wine, you need 6 parts water to 1 part wine. So now I have 2 cups of wine here. One has 1 ounce of yayin kasher, and one has yayin chulin, and one has 1 ounce of yayin shel truma. And then into each cup, Lela Seder's coming, and I pour 3 ounces of wine to dilute it. And that's how I'm going to drink it. What? To dilute it. 3 ounces of water. And now, these 2 cups, which have a combined 6 ounces of water, 1 ounce of truma wine, 1 ounce of chulin wine, I now mix them together. And the question is, can we say that the 6 ounces of water are mevatel, the 1 ounce of yayin shel truma, and I ignore the presence of the yayin shel chulin, Right? We don't let them sort of, we don't allow the yayin shel chulin to serve as a safety net, as a life preserver for the yayin shel truma, to say, ah, there's still yayin here, and once there's still yayin here and it's yayin shel truma, a tzar can't drink any of it. So they asked Rabbi Yochanan, if you do take these two cups, you mix them together, mahu, v'lo pashat le. And Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't know. And if Rabbi Yochanan really held to the principle of roin, so maybe the answer should have been, yeah, it's mutter. In other words, we would look at the ounce of yayin shalchulin, pretend it wasn't there. We now have 1 ounce of yayin of truma, 6 ounces of water, and the yayin shel truma is batel. I don't really care. The fact that there's yayin shel, the fact that there's yayin shel heter there doesn't really matter to me. Of course, the fascinating question would be, could you use this for a mitzvah of something that required yayin? Can you, on the one hand, say, ah, the yayin nesach, the yayin shel truma is batel because there's 6 ounces of water against it. But on the other hand, this water has the flavor of wine. It's the wine, therefore I can drink it. So the Gemara says, no, meikar lo pashat le. Originally, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't sure. Libesov pashat le. In other words, you have to know the chronology here. All the statements that we've cited in Rabbi Yochanan came from a later stage. Earlier, Rabbi Yassi had asked him the question, and he wasn't sure whether you could employ Rowan. At some point, Rabbi Yochanan decided, yes, you can say Rowan. And that's when he uttered some version of the statement, either Rabin's statement, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda, and that's when he said, you do say Rowan. Itamar Nami, it is also stated, Amrab Yochanan, with respect to the Kosos question, the Amila Amrab Asi Amrab Yochanan, Shnei Kosos, Echad Shalchulim, Echad Shaltruma, Umezagan, V'irvan Zebezeh, Rowan es haheter ke'ilu eino, the hasha'ar mayim rabin olav umavatlan osa. Okay, so that was the conclusion. That, in fact, is Rabbi Yochanan's position. How do we paskin? So if you want to look, I didn't look in the Shulchan Aruch, but you can tell from where the os is placed on the Eimishpat Mitzvah and Daf Ayin Gilmam Aleph. I know we don't paskin like the first two opinions in the Gemara, Rav Dimi and whoever else, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, we paskin that Yayin Nesach falling to Yayin Kasher definitely makes it Aser. And according to the Os in the Gemara, we paskin like Rav Yochanan, the second version, the more machmir one, that in order for it to be mutter, the water at least has to fall in first. And then if the wine falls in, and the water is enough water, it's shishim in the water to be mevatel the wine, then the entire mixture is permissible. Okay, I'm going to conclude here with just set up one final question, which was the issue that I'm going to keep Marshall in suspense waiting till next week, even though I spilled a little bit of the beans. The Gemara in Bechoros makes the following claim. First, a little bit of background information. There are three things that that if they become tamei, you cannot put them in a mikveh to be mitar them. It doesn't work. Three things. Everything else has tara, either with the para, if you need the para duma's ashes, most of the time you don't, plus going in the mikvah. But there are three things that can never have tara in a mikvah, and because of that also they never become an avatuma. They can touch a dead body, but they already immediately jump down to the lower level of rishon latuma. Those three things are earthenware vessels, klecheres, ochlin and mashkim, food and drink. There's one exception to the rule, which doesn't have tzvila in a mikvah, but there's a way to make it tahar if it became tameh, and that is water. And the way you mitahar water is through a process known as hashaka, of having the water that you want to be mitahar kiss or touch the waters of a mikvah. And it's called zriya, or hashaka. It's like you planted the water in the ground, in the mikvah, and now the water becomes tahar. That's the only way you can be mitahar anything that we ordinarily might eat or drink, water specifically. That principle of hashaka, by the way, I don't know if we've spoken about this here. I don't know what's that? In a mikvah, the way the mikvahs work, and I don't know what they do here, if they ask the women to pull the plug out when they go to the mikvah, even though me'ikar, then it shouldn't be required. We collect rainwater in, this is not for tumah v'tahara, this is to avoid the problem of drawn water, of mayim shuvim, right? We don't allow, whether it's the rice or the rabbanon, you're not allowed to pour water from vessels into the mikvah to make a mikvah out of that. It has to come in, let's say, directly from flowing from the rain, flowing over the ground. It can't be put from a clay into the mikvah. So what do? We gather we have a pit, one bar for rainwater, collected from the roof. It's allowed to go through pipes as long as it doesn't have a base keyboard. And then we have clean water, clean tap water, chlorinated water in the main bar that people go into. And then there's a little plug between the two of them, a certain size. And if you pull the plug out, the water's touched. Really, al pidin, you should be able to put the plug immediately back in. And it doesn't matter. All the water is now mayim ksherim. I think sometimes we have the chumrah. We have somebody, the first person who goes down to the mikveh to pull the plug out. And when they're done, you put the plug back in. But in principle, that's what we do there as well. It's called hashaka. So now, the Gemara in Bechoros deals with the following question. Supposing I buy tzir, which is some type of a fish brine, from an Am Haaretz. Now, fish brine, tzir, is not Mekabel Tuma. But there's a concern. The Am Haaretz might have added water into it. And the water is Mekabel Tuma. He might have diluted it. He makes more money that way. He adulterates it. Now, but I want to use the fish brine, and I'm afraid that it might be Tumei. Because the Amaretz, everything the Amaretz touches is Tameh, so his water is Tameh. So the Gemara is the following Eitzah. Take the tzir and do Hashaka in the mikveh with it. And then it's fine to consume the tzir as is. Mimanafshach, either way. If the majority of this mixture is tzir, then the water is batel in the tzir, and tzir is not Mekabel Tumah, and you can eat it, consume it, and it's fine. Usually you dipped in it. And if the Am Haaretz adulterated so much that the majority is water, so then the Hashaka is Metaher, the water. Okay, that's a very straightforward Eitzah. But then the Gemara says the following. There is one limitation. You're not allowed to take this tzir and put it into a pot with other water and mix it in. Why? Because it could be that the minority of the tzir was water. And when you put it in the mikveh, it's not mitaher, the water in the tzir, because it's not water, it's tzir. And tzir has tzir is tahar, but you can't be mitaher in the mikvah either. So when you did hashaka or zriya on the water, on the tzir, you weren't mitaher, the water that was blended in, because right then the water was batel. But now you take it and put it in the pot where there's more water, and the Gemara Bechora says, matza min es min ovener. The water in the pot is going to find the water that was in the tzir, it's going to wake it up, and the water in the tzir was tame, because it was from the Am Haaretz, and now your food is tame. So the Gemara says you can only use this tzir after you do the hashaka, the tefillah, you can only use it to dip. You can't actually use it for throwing it into the tavshil. Now, I would say, by the way, I don't think Gemara says this, there's a solution to the problem. If you want to put it into the mikveh, add more water right now to make sure there's a majority of water before you put it in your pot. Do zriya in the mikveh, and now you can toss it into the into your tavshil. But the key point is, you don't say here, kama batel. You say that matzah minus mean of an air. You don't say that once the water was misbatel in the tzir, assuming that a minority, the Am Haaretz only put in less than 50% water. You don't say that once it's misbatel, that when you add more and more and more water, you don't say, well, the next drop of water falls in, is batel, it's still all tzir. The next drop of water, no, you don't say that. You say, when you reach a majority of water, matzah minus mean of an air. So the Tosas asks the question, when you go back to the beginning of our Gemara, Rav Dimi says that according to Rav Yochanan, again, we don't paskin this way with respect to Yayin Nesach, but Rav Dimi had claimed that if you have a bore of Yayin Shel Heter, and the Yayin Nesach is slowly flowing in, and let's just say slowly dripping into the Yayin Kosher, kama batel afilu ko hayom kulo. So why don't we say Chazra v'neora? That is the question that the Rishonim have to grapple with. And we will begin with Tosfos, Dibur Maskil Ki Aser of Dimi, Be'ezras Hashem, not next week, but the week of Yom Kippur. Okay.